these are your prayers tonight. I'm Butch Cole from here locally, and certainly do appreciate the faithfulness of the Lord in this meeting. I've been richly blessed myself. I have a few thoughts to share tonight that I feel the Lord would have me to give. And I want to say this at the onset. This is a simple message, just a simple gospel message. But you know, God made it that way. The gospel is simple. That way anyone can get a hold of it. And I'm so thankful for that. So again, I desire your prayers with our little endeavor tonight. So I first want to try to give us all a mental picture. And I wish I had a large poster board of a photo that I took a few years back. I have it on my phone, and I'm not going to try to share it with everyone. But I'll hold it up. You can see a little bit of it. And you're welcome to come look at it later after service. But I have on my phone here a photo of a, it is a vehicle, a little SUV slash wagon, whatever you want to call it, that is parked in a McDonald's parking lot. And one night we pulled in there, and when I first saw it, I'm like, this has got to be a prank or a joke or something. It was that bad. And this little vehicle was overloaded with all kinds of things. I couldn't even tell everything that was on there. It had, obviously, luggage. It had furniture. There was a chair or two on there. There were just bags of stuff, maybe a bed. There was all kinds of things stuffed on top of it. And then inside it, all the seats in the back were totally filled. The only open spot was the driver's seat. And there was things literally up in the dash where I don't see how this gentleman could drive. But anyway, he did. He got there. I don't know how far he made it after that. But looking at this site, it was so bogged down with all this extra luggage and baggage. And as I'm looking at that, and I've looked at the picture different times, I've shared it with others, and we got quite a laugh. And it was for real, because later we saw a gentleman come out of McDonald's, get in the vehicle, and leave. But if you look close at the picture, just again, and visualize this, it was squatting terribly at the back. Literally, it was only about 2 or 3 inches of clearance from the back bumper to the ground. And the back wheels were up inside the wheel wells, and the front was popped up a little bit. And you could only imagine if he went over a bump. There's no suspension left. He's bottomed out the springs and the shocks. And no doubt, I couldn't really tell because it was dark, but the rear tires, I'm sure, were towed in like this. And so, depending on how far he's driving, there's a lot of challenges, no doubt, that he was faced with. First of all, having that much weight, no doubt he couldn't go the typical speed limits, or it took him forever to get up to speed because it was overloaded. And then, not only that, with that extra weight, can you imagine the terrible gas mileage he was getting? And then beyond that, I mentioned earlier about everything was crowded in around the seats in the back, and he could only use one mirror, his driver's mirror, and I don't even know how much he could see out of that. But his vision, driving, talk about a hazard. And then, again, the wear and tear on the tires. And then think of this. If you've ever driven a large vehicle down a road, when you get a crosswind, it starts blowing you all over the place. No doubt his vehicle is like a sail with that huge load on it, plus with the front end popped up a little bit. Can you imagine the steering was not that great either? So all of these things, it's just like, it was hard to fathom. And he had straps going through the windows. His windows were rolled up, and straps and bungee cords and everything just every which way, all over this vehicle. Well, again, to put it simply, the engineers that designed this vehicle, they did not design it for that type of load or that type of capacity. I can promise you that. He's exceeding all kinds of safety measures, no doubt, that they built into it. And I can promise you this, he's going to wear that car out very quickly if he survives. But to think of it this way, that load was meant for a large full-size pickup and a trailer. I can promise you he could fill up a truck and a trailer, or just a big U-Haul, with everything he had loaded on that. So thinking of that, again, there was a lot going on there. And again, if you can visualize that. But I want to emphasize something. That vehicle, that little wagon, was not designed for that. But yet he kept piling things on. That was his desire, obviously. But I want us to consider this spiritually this evening. Do you realize God has a design for you and I? How he created us? That he didn't create us to carry such a huge load. And I want to emphasize this with a few scriptures before we get started with the main scripture. I want to read, we'll just quote a few scriptures here. In Psalms, the 23rd chapter, what does it say at the beginning there? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then the rest of that, excuse me. There's a few other parts I want to get a hold of here. Realizing that we are his sheep is what I want to get a hold of. So it says here, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. But I want to emphasize that part, that first verse. The Lord is my shepherd. So keep that in your mind. He's our shepherd. Well, if he's our shepherd, who are we? So in Psalms, the 100th chapter, we want to read. Psalms 103, it says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. So just think about that for a little bit. We were created to be sheep, okay? And he, the shepherd. And there's many other scriptures we could read, but that's enough for now. But what I want to emphasize here tonight is I'll ask the question. Were sheep designed to carry loads? In other words, the scripture we just got through reading in Psalms, it didn't say we are the cattle of his pasture, or we are the oxen of his pasture, or we are the mules of his pasture. Because those animals were created to carry loads, heavy loads, okay? But a sheep, what is it about a sheep? A sheep, they're small. They got little legs. They're not very strong. They're short. They're not made to carry the loads. And so when you think of it that way, and you consider it for ourselves tonight, that we as his sheep, the sheep of his pasture, that he being our shepherd, we were not made to carry the heavy loads and to look like that little wagon that was so overloaded, the springs were about to break, and his vision was obscured, and he was so overloaded he couldn't go very fast. He was handicapped, we'll say it that way. He couldn't drive normally because he was using it improperly. It wasn't designed for that. So thinking of this, I want to help us to understand something. In fact, I'm going to draw a little diagram on the board to maybe help with this. And if you don't mind, while I draw this little diagram, if we could sing a couple of verses of number 207 while I draw this.
And dwell with him above. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. I found it so, I found it so. His service is my sweetest delight. His blessings ever flow. No other Lord but Christ I know. I walk with Him alone. His streams of love forever flow. Within my heart is thrown. His yoke is easy, His burden is light. I found it so, I found it so. His service is my sweetest delight. His blessings ever flow. He's dearer to my heart than life. He found me lost in sin. He calmed the sea of inward strife and bade me come to Him. His yoke is easy, His burden is light. I found it so, I found it so. His service is my sweetest delight. His blessings ever flow.
So I want to, before we discuss the diagram, I have written on the board, are you heavy laden? So I want to read a scripture, a very familiar scripture we've all heard. But it's in Matthew, the 11th chapter, in verse 28. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So I want to approach it this way. I don't know what drove that gentleman to load his wagon up like he did. But he did. And it was rather amusing. But you know, when it comes to our spiritual lives, when the devil overloads our wagon, what do you think his purpose is? Is it just to be amusing to him or amusing to other people? No, we've heard about it in this meeting already. He came to kill, steal, and to destroy. He came to discourage us, to hinder us, to burden us down where we can hardly function at all, to burden us down where it's hard for us to see clearly. As that gentleman noted, I know he couldn't see. To burden us down where we're just barely creeping. To burden us down where we're afraid to even turn the steering wheel and to go around to try to function normally because we're afraid we might run off the road or the winds might blow us off course. We're intimidated. We're afraid to even try to drive or to function because we don't know what to do. We're overburdened with things. And Satan, that's his design, okay? And so what I have drawn here on the board, and sorry, it's a poor excuse for a little sheep, but I think you maybe get the picture there. And he has six large loads stacked on top of him. And like I said earlier, if you were to put that on an oxen, he would probably be okay for a while. It's not going to be that big of a deal because he's strong, he's tall, he's large and muscles. He's built for that. The little sheep is not. If that sheep really had that big a load on it, it would squash it. There's no way it could function like it was designed to function. Well, I want to, by the Lord's help, I want to talk about just six things that the devil uses as a heavy burden upon, yes, the sinners, but on the saved and the sanctified as well. He can use this on anyone he chooses to because he desires to destroy all of us, okay? He wants to hinder us on our pathway to heaven any way he can. So he's going to start dumping these loads on top of us. Well, I want to start with the first one. And again, these are just six of them. There's many that could be named out. But I feel very strongly to share at least these six. So the first one, I want to write on the board here. I have written guilt. And there's actually, well, we'll define guilt first of all in a general sense. Guilt is, it's where you feel like I did something bad.
just in a general definition, you feel like you did something bad. It was brought to your attention. But the focus is on the behavior, okay? That you behaved in a bad way and you responded in a bad way, whatever the case is. But there's two different types of guilt. There is destructive guilt, which is, again, what Satan would love to use to destroy you and I. And let's expound upon that a little bit. The destructive guilt is one that can really take you under, okay? Where you're burdened down so heavy with something, you don't feel like you can ever get up again. But along with that, it's also hard to pinpoint exactly what is it. Because you know what the devil is? He's the author of confusion. He wants to confuse our minds like, I feel so guilty and so oppressed, and I don't know why. I don't know where this is coming from. And the devil loves for us to feel that way. But then to take it a step further, this destructive guilt also has a feeling of no hope. If you can imagine this little sheep burdened down with this heavy load of guilt, say that bag of guilt weighs 200 pounds. That little sheep has no way of surviving that. No hope. But then the devil also, with this destructive guilt, he wants us to feel like this is so, so bad that I can never be forgiven. This is so bad. Again, there's no hope. I'm drowned in this guilt. It's totally covering me up and it's crushing me down. I can't even begin to function. Okay? That's the destructive guilt. Well, there's also, on the positive side, a constructive guilt. Now, it still loads you down, but with this, there is hope. Because this type of guilt there's other terms that you could say, godly sorrow. You realize what you've done, but God gives you the hope that you can change something. You can make improvements. You can grow. And eventually that guilt starts chipping away and falling to the side, and it's no longer such a heavy load and a burden. That's the constructive type of guilt. And to think of this, it can also, as I alluded to, it may take a while, but it is possible, with God's help and His grace, for that load to also be lifted. So that is the guilt. And I want to emphasize something else here. Through the process, because sometimes we may have experiences where the load and the guilt is lifted just like that. Other times it's a process of time. But I want you to be encouraged here tonight that there is hope. That there is a good shepherd that wants to lift that load of guilt and allow you to learn from your mistakes or your failures that I'm not going to do that again, all right? And to realize He has the grace for that. Now I want to move on to the second one. The second one I have written on the board is shame. So I want to emphasize the difference in guilt and shame. There is a difference. Again, guilt means I did something bad. Shame is another level downward. Okay, it makes you feel like I am bad. It's like I own this. This is just part of me. And I'm never, it's like I can never change. But the focus is on yourself. Not so much the behavior that you committed a crime out there, but it's more of, it's on myself that I am such a bad person. I am bad. And it's also emphasizing that I'm owning that failure. It's like, I feel so shameful. It's like I can never show my face again. Just walk around with my head dropped down. And it's like, folks, that's a heavy load. And again, a sheep is not designed to carry that either. We weren't designed to carry the guilt and the shame, all right, that our own ways put upon us, that sin puts upon, that Satan tries to put upon us. We weren't made for that. Another thing about shame. It makes you feel unworthy. I'm not worthy of God's love. I'm not worthy of my family's love. I'm not worthy of any of this. The shame is so terrible. It is something that Satan uses against any of us, if we allow it, to allow that shame to sink us lower and lower in despair under this heavy load that we weren't designed to carry anyway. So another one, number three. Fear. Fear is another heavy load, folks. Satan uses that tool, again, on anyone. Fear, you could define it as this. It's a negative and present emotion. It's something that comes upon you in an instant when you're faced with something, when you're faced with a threat or danger. You well up with fear within. And you, if you can just think of a sheep here for a moment, those that maybe have been around sheep, they're very timid. And they're scared very easily. So that's very easily relatable. But you know, Satan walks about as a roaring lion, trying to scare and put fear into us. And if you understand, I've heard it described this way. I've not experienced it necessarily, but I've heard it described this way. That a lion is the king of the beast. And out in the jungle or the safaris, they can go wherever they're at, and they can put their head to the ground and just roar. And what happens is it sends these little tremors through the ground that maybe the human, we don't pick up on, but the animals can feel that roar, the tremor going throughout the ground, and they feel it and they hear it. And it brings great fear upon them. Folks, you know Satan does the same to you and I. He comes along and he roars. And he roars. He loves to see us run and scatter and in fear and intimidation. We take cover. We damage ourselves. We damage one another, whatever the case is. And we run from the Lord because of fear. And folks, that can also be a heavy load. Now, number four. Number four. Anxiety and dread. Those go hand in hand. But you know something I've noticed in my short lifetime, and I don't think this is any coincidence. I believe this is a very effective tool also of Satan. But it seems as though more folks have issues with anxiety than before. I don't know if that's true or not. I haven't done a study. But we'll put it this way. Even as I've gotten older, I've battled this as well. Satan has tried to use this as a heavy load upon myself and the dread that goes right along with it. So let's understand what anxiety and dread is. It's a feeling, a loss of control. It's like, and it's something that, again, comes on suddenly. And it's the uncertainty. And it starts to become where the focus is on the future. So the feeling comes on, can come on suddenly, but it's because you're focusing on something that might happen. It just might happen, but you don't really know. But there's some signs of it, or maybe some rumors of it, or just a feeling of it, and it's just like lurking out there. This might happen. This might come crashing down on me. But it's because we're dwelling on worst-case scenarios. You know, the Scripture teaches us in Philippians 4 and 8 to think on these things. And there's a whole long list. But one of those are, whatsoever things are true, and whatsoever things are of good report. But Satan would love for us to sit back and in wonderment and question and all these possibilities, this might happen. Oh, if that happens, that might happen. Oh, and if that happens, then this might happen. And then I dread if that happens, oh, then that's going to happen. Oh, then of course that's going to happen. You understand the thought process there? Folks, again, this can be a heavy load. that can burden you down and crush you. If we could say it can suffocate the life out of you. And that's what Satan would love to do, to fill us with anxiety and dread. I want to move on to number 5. This is maybe a little more challenging to describe per se, but I have written on the board perfectionism. And I want to explain it this way. It's having a mindset of thinking, I have to know everything and I have to understand everything before I make a decision, before I make a move. I've got to understand it all. I got to see it all. You understand what I'm saying? Well, let's take this a little deeper level. And to think of it this way, if I don't know everything or understand everything, I risk being a bad person in someone else's eyes. You understand the point there? And so it's like, I want to make sure I'm doing everything just perfect, that I understand everything perfectly, that I know everything perfectly, so that I can come across to others that, oh, he's got it in order or she's got it in order. But folks, let me tell you something. As long as we're in this flesh, in the literal sense, we're not going to get everything perfect, okay? The scripture talks about perfection in another sense as well. That means whole and complete. But there's the other side of that, that we in the flesh, we're not going to be perfect in the sense that all the I's and all the T's are perfect that pleases everyone else. The key is that we do it pleasing to the Lord, that's what we should strive for. But it is so easy to get caught up in, I want to please so-and-so. I want to look just right. I want to perform just right. I want to say it just right. Folks, that is bondage. That is a heavy burden that we weren't meant to carry. We were built to please God, all right? And not to please man, and not to please ourselves. And again, that is a heavy burden. And talking about thinking of how others perceive us or what they think of us, another tangent of perfectionism would be overly conscientious. Folks, this is a touchy one. I know it's challenging to try to grasp hold of this. But I want to offer this as a warning. And I'll just use an example. In fact, it was already mentioned, I believe the other night, Brother Joseph or someone mentioned this. The devil would like to try to convince us that to be well-pleasing to man or to be well-pleasing to God, that every morning without fail, we spend at least 2 hours in prayer to the Lord. You understand my point? That's good if you can. And I think that is very healthy for our soul, all right? But the devil would like us to believe a lie that you're not perfect and you're not acceptable to the Lord unless you spend 2 hours every morning, 365 days a year. And if you miss one of those, you're a bad person. You realize Satan takes things similar to that, all right? If you can understand my point here, he'll take things similar to that and put that heavy load of oppression that, oh, I got to do that. And I got to do that too. And then I have to do this as well. I'm like, I won't have any time the rest of my day to function normally. You understand the point there? Where the devil would love for us to be convinced of that, that, well, brother so-and-so said this, or sister so-and-so said this, and if you don't do it exactly like they said, how about thus saith the Lord, okay? That should be our rule of faith, our guideline in being perfect and wholly committed to the Lord, saying, Lord, would you show me and teach me, how do you want me to go about this? I need your wisdom. I need your discernment. I need your strength because I want to please you. And we start having that mindset, it eliminates that heavy load of perfectionism, okay? And then I want to say this too. Another gauge you can use for this is when something becomes more of a burden than a blessing, that should be a caution. I can't say what that is for you, But I know how God has dealt with me about some things. And folks, it took some years to discern that. But I kept saying, Lord, would you show me? Would you teach me? Because this is, I'm having a hard time with this. And it's not really, the dots aren't connecting. And I'm not seeing how this is lining up. And you know what he would reveal to me? He's saying, because you're trying to please so-and-so, or you're trying to please yourself. And he's like, why don't you check in with me? And when I got a hold of that, it's like, Lord, thank you. Talk about freedom. Talk about a load being lifted. And again, going back to the Lord and the scriptures to teach us, to guide us, the Spirit. When Jesus said he would send the Holy Spirit to guide us unto all truth, to help us to rightly divide the Word of God. How does it apply to me specifically? And we know what the scripture says, and sometimes the last part is forgotten. But the first part of the scripture says, work out your own salvation. You know, some folks like to stop there and say, oh, whoo, this is going to be easy. I can just do anything I want. No, that's not the point. It says, work out your own salvation with what? Fear and trembling before God. Now, that kind of fear means a reverence, acknowledging how powerful God is, his all-seeing eye, his all-seeing under his understanding, his omnipotence, his omnipresence, everything that God is, he's right there, and he understands us, and he knows our motives, folks. He knows the intents of our hearts, that if we're trying to cut corners just to make it easy on the flesh, God's faithful to check us on that. But if we're saying, Lord, would you show me what to do over here? I want to be pleasing to you. You know, God accepts that prayer, and he'll give us specific instructions on how to handle that. God is so faithful to us, isn't he? Then the last one I want to write on the board. The last one I wrote is overwhelmed. And there's a reason I put it at the top. Because what happens is, when you get overwhelmed, it's because it's an accumulation of things that Satan has been placing upon your shoulders and whispering to you, you better, you know, do this or not, whatever. Or he may be roaring, whatever the case is, all right, trying to put you in a corner, to make you feel isolated, no one else cares, all right? I don't feel worthy of anyone's love. I feel so guilty. I feel so shameful. I feel so full of fear. I have anxiety and dread about things that are out of my control. And then the perfectionism, I'm trying to please this person, trying to please that person, and have a little room for myself. And it's like, I'm spread way too thin here. And folks, that's not how it works. But it's the perfectionism of trying to become something I can't. Physically, okay? And then all those things added up, you become overwhelmed. And folks, that little wagon, the little car that I saw in the parking lot, it was overwhelmed with a load that it wasn't designed to carry. And so my question tonight is for all of us here, are you heavy laden? Are you burdened down with the load of whatever cares that it may be? And do you feel like your wheels are fixing to pop off and your springs are bottomed out and you scrape at every little bump that you go over in your spiritual vehicle, so to speak, and the winds toss you around and you can't hardly see where you're going and you feel alone and all these things and you're sluggish, you're barely just creeping along? Folks, that vehicle wasn't designed for that. And folks, our spirits weren't designed to carry all these heavy burdens, all right? Because in time, being overwhelmed, let's talk about that. It's an extreme level of stress. It's one definition. And I think we could all raise our hands that yes, we've all been stressed. But we're talking about stressed to a great extent. We're talking about, as I mentioned earlier, where you're hardly even able to function. your mental capacities. It's like you're just overwhelmed with information. You're overwhelmed with all of the things listed below. You're just totally overwhelmed with that. And you don't see a way out. You feel smothered. And it feels like any change or improvement is impossible. Folks, that is a lie. Because what does the scripture say? With God, all things are possible. With God. In ourself, it's not. Someone that's overwhelmed, they feel like they've been buried in their burdens and their loads. And it feels like just the everyday tasks of life are too much. You understand what I'm saying? Perhaps you felt that before. Physically, you feel drained. Emotionally, you feel drained. Mentally, you feel, in every capacity you have, you feel drained, you feel weak, you feel overloaded, you can't function, you can't think straight. And the devil loves that. But again, folks, we weren't designed to be that way. We were designed, rather, I want to read this scripture again. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Folks, this is a promise. Because he said, and I will give you rest. You know, in that scripture we read in Psalms, the Lord is my shepherd, I will not want. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Folks, you read the rest of those verses there. It gives a very peaceful scenery, doesn't it? Because sheep are designed to be fed by the good shepherd. Sheep are designed to be watered by the good shepherd. Sheep are designed to be protected by the good shepherd. Sheep are designed to be guided, all right, and be led about by the good shepherd. And all of these things, that's what the sheep, that's what they're designed for. Folks, that's you and I. We are designed to be fed by the good shepherd. We are designed to be watered, to be protected, to guide us about. That's what we are here for. And to think of the last part of this verse, and I will give you rest. You know, there's something about when the burdens are lifted. I want to demonstrate that. Thank the Lord. It's restored back to its original intention. And I think of the story, we're not going to turn and read these scriptures, but you remember the woman at the well? You could look at it this way, that she came to the well and Jesus just happened to be there at the same time. But folks, that's not the case. Jesus knew that woman was coming to the well. And Jesus knew that that woman was burdened down with more than just six of those things. She was burdened down with everything possible, it seemed like. And there was no hope. She was burdened down with this, and she's thinking, there's no way. And the interaction they're having there, he's like, I have something to quench your thirst. She's like, the literal water? Oh, no. Oh, there was an end to this, and it was to relieve her of all of her burdens. But you know the end of that story was? What did she do? She ran back to her home, and it said she left her water pot. She didn't take anything back with her. To me, that symbolizes she left her old life behind because Jesus lifted her burdens. He set her free and helped her to go back home to function as he designed her to function. You know, that's what Jesus came to do as a good shepherd for all of us here tonight. And if you feel like you've been heavy laden with things that are too much, this is more than I can handle, I don't know where to turn, folks, I want to tell you, you can go to the good shepherd. And I want to read a scripture here. And this is the antidote here in 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. Again, another familiar scripture. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, it says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Folks, all you have to do as this poor, helpless little sheep is just come. Come to the Good Shepherd. And yes, you're maybe just barely struggling to get there. Just like the woman at the well, I could imagine just envisioning her walking up that little pathway to the well with her head hung down, heavy laden, looking down thinking, nobody cares for me. Nobody loves me. There's no hope. I'm lost in this. I'm overwhelmed with life. Little did she know her life was going to change that day. Folks, what I'm offering here through the grace of God, what the Good Shepherd is offering you here tonight, is freedom for your loads to be lifted, that you can be restored back to the original state that you and I were designed to function in, that we can walk around in liberty and have a smile on our face and feel light and lifted, that God lifted these things off of my shoulders, off of my back, out of my mind, where I don't have to deal with them anymore. That's what he came for this woman at the well. And I want to emphasize something here. Casting all your care upon him. You know, you can't cast it upon Jesus if you haven't come to him. That's why he said back in Matthew, come unto me. You have to be near Jesus, all right? You have to be close enough to him so that you can cast and roll those things over on him. And you know what? Sometimes we as humans, we don't even know how to roll those things. But Jesus didn't give us a long list of, here is a 15-step process of how to cast these things on me. All he said was, come to me. He's like, I'll figure out the rest. That poor little sheep had no capability in itself to unleash all these burdens that were weighted down on him. Just like you and I, there's so many things we don't know how to cut things loose. We don't know how to unload these things. But we come to Jesus. We get near enough to him and say, Lord, I need your help. I want to cast these things. Maybe I'm just barely pushing something off. But Lord, you know the desires of my heart. Folks, tonight, the Good Shepherd knows the desires of your heart. Even if you feel like you're barely to wiggle a little finger or a little toe, saying, Lord, I'm coming to you, but I don't know what to do with this. Oh, dear ones, that's why we have a Good Shepherd. Because we as sheep, we're helpless. We're just wandering around, and that's why the shepherd's always having to hover over us and protect us and say, well, let's go over here. And he's saying, come follow me. And oh, be careful over there. And we get stuck in some thorns or some briars. And he's like, okay, let me help you get out of that. And oh, here's some water over here. And here's some food over there. That's what our Good Shepherd is doing. And that's what he's offering to you and I. And especially to those that feel heavy laden, that are burdened down and overwhelmed with whatever it is in your life. I beg of you tonight that you can come and have that burden or burdens lifted from you, that you can be restored and you can again find that rest and that peace and start frolicking around in that heavenly pasture he has for you and I. So the message again tonight is, are you heavy laden? There's an answer. There's an antidote. Cast your cares upon him. For this good shepherd, he careth for you. Put your name in there, folks. And whatever the need is, he's able to fill it. You pray for me, I'd be faithful to him.